This discussion is brought to you by Government Communication and Information System, GCIS, a nation that works for all. And today I'm joined by Ms. Petunia Lenono, Dominic Tybalt, as well as Clement T.C. Chauke. Sir, ladies,
hello.
Good afternoon and welcome to Board FM.
Good afternoon.
Y'all looking stunning, man.
Thank you so much.
Need to plug us with the outfits. Like, y'all need. I need you guys to pull the microphones towards you so that you can be audible. Yes. That's it.
Right.
Now we at it. So thank you so much for making time this afternoon and joining us in this. Let me say, you know, it's a very sensitive topic, if I can say, with the rate of women, children going missing in the country as we speak. The gender-based violence has been a growing concern for us as the citizens of South Africa, and not only for South Africa, but as globally, you know, as the world. And today we are going to be focusing on school-related gender-based violences, sexual, physical and psychological violences in our schools. This is a serious concern, a very huge concern. And I know that you guys are in your respective, you know, positions and roles. You, Petunia, you are a spiritually centered clinical psychologist who has been in practice for the past 19 years. I want to ask you off air though, how do you do it? 19 years, how do you do it? And also you, Dominic, you are former Miss South Africa finalist. Yes, girl, you get it. So beyond pageantry, you are a founder of Bailey Two Brains, a nonprofit organization dedicated to community upliftment, right? And you, Mr. Lament, transformational speaker, social activist, founder, and the president of Miss Influence South Africa. It's all about pageantry here, hey? It's all about Miss South Africa. Hey, next thing, we're going to be finding our Zozibini Tunzi from one of what you guys are doing, which I really admire. But I want us to get into, you know, the real topic, the real burning topic about it. Gender-based violence is an issue at schools. Let me start with you, Mr. Clement. I want to ask you, you know, you deal with pageantry, you deal with school kids each and every day. What are the most common forms of gender-based violence in schools?
The most common one,
yes.
On top of the list, it's sexual harassment.
Maybe somebody doesn't know what sexual harassment is. What is sexual harassment?
Boys, when they play at school with girls, they spank their bums.
Allow me to do something. Please hold it. I want to do something here. I just got reminded. Let me do this and then I will be coming back to that question. This discussion is brought to you by Government Communication and Information System, GCIS, a nation that works for all. Definitely, this is the conversation and the interview brought to you by GCIS. Yes, as you were, Mr. Clement, can you please continue, sir?
Yeah, so I remember what I've just said, that boys at schools, when they play with girls, they spank their bums. We went to one school last year. It was a primary school. And then one boy was reported that day to having had done that. And then because of these things are not brought into light, to say, as a boy, you're not allowed to, you know, touch girls in a way that it's sexually harassing and all that, you find that those kind of behaviors, they are being normalized. And then when you go to university spaces, the code of conduct, you know, they put it before your face.
True.
To say, if you do this, you will be academically excluded from an institution. And these are the things that we need to educate, especially young boys.
True.
Whilst they're still growing up, there's a profound scripture in the Bible that says, train up a child whilst they are still young.
True.
So that when they are old, they may not depart from those ways.
Mm.
So you train your child from home to say, there's a way in which you don't touch women.
Yes.
And then boys, by nature, we have it in us that we are masculine. And then also, you know, social norms, you are told that a man is this, a man is that, and you get into a school environment with that mindset. I always teach boys that pursue honor over power. Pursue honor over power.
Speaking of that, speaking of, you know, teaching your child at home, what do you think are the core roots of, you know, such instances of gender-based violence, or you find boys at school spanking girls? What do you think are the core roots, the roots that causes all these, you know, issues that are based with gender-based violence, and how can they be addressed?
There's what we call observational learning.
Okay. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Young people, they learn more from observation.
Yes.
When we grow up, we all imitate behavior.
Mm.
Whatever that you see at home, whatever that you are exposed to on daily basis, is what will model your behavior.
True.
So if you come from a family setting where your parents, they always fight, and it has been normalized that the father in the house come back home drunk, start beating the mom and all that. That's the kind of a behavior that the child would learn.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see this even when they play with other kids. I remember when we were growing up playing, first thing first that will come to mind when we were growing up, my generation, it will be the thing is, I'm playing with a girl and I'm like, I will beat you, I will do this,
yeah.
I'm the husband here.
Hey.
Why did we do that? Because we saw that from our family settings that a man must become violent, and when you speak to a woman, it's a thing of, I will beat you and all this. And then because they are modeled like that from home, the very same behavior is what you will find yourself dealing with at schools. So we need to build them from home. We need to come to the place where we outline, we work on a list of morals.
Yes.
Our kids are not ethical. Why? Because morals are not given to them. So we need to go back to the thing of, as a boy child, you must protect women. You must do this, you must do that. Today, unfortunately, in a generation that we are living in, our kids are raised more by social media than parents being present in modeling them and raising them.
Interesting facts. Let me ask you, Dominic, in this question. How does, you know, gender-based violence affect students or in their academic performance and their well-being in their school?
So I also want to come in just in support of what Clement is saying there. You know, in terms of bringing the violence to school, a lot of...
Let me interject there a bit. It looks like my technical glitches. So I think we can use this microphone because this one, yeah, it's just giving a bit of a technical glitch there. So we do apologize for that. So definitely.
Can you hear me?
Yes, properly now. Yes.
So many times, especially in our communities, we're finding child-headed households, you know, where the parents are absent, parents have passed on, and, you know, they're learning from example. They're living in communities where the upline for them is somebody who comes home from a bad day at work and takes it out on those who they find inferior to create their ego or feed their testosterone. And then what happens is when you're taking that to schools, whether it's sexual abuse, sexual harassment, whether it's physical, where you're finding fights on the field, you know, where you're finding there's a lot of TV being watched, whether it's on a telephone screen or whatever, and they seeing that, oh, you know, they taking examples from what looks cool, you know, gangsterism and things like that, and they bringing that to the schools.
Yeah.
But then you're also finding that hurt people,
yes,
right? So if that's the love language that I've learned at home, and this is how I can get things done, where I'm being diminished at home, I can take power from somebody who's smaller than me at school, and I start projecting the same to feed my inner demons and to feed me that I go, well, at least I've achieved something, because at home I'm nothing.
Yes.
When I'm taking it from home, at school I can be the bully, I can be the person where people split on the school grounds and things like that, because now I'm taking control in an environment that I think I have control in. If we look at primary schools, you're in grade 7, now you get to high school, you get to grade 8, and then suddenly you're the little one again.
Yes, you're being bullied.
And if you don't
now
break that cycle, you're going to take that through to your matricula within, when you're initiating a grade 8, you'll be that bully of that grade 8 instead of breaking the cycle, instead of breaking the lines of that abuse. You know, when it comes to sexual abuse, when you don't know that the word is not, we've lost that godly principle of the man being the head of the household.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean that the man must rule with his thumb and subject the wife or the partner to be under. God made Eve out of Adam's rib to be a partner, to walk alongside. But there's a godly principle of the mother, the wife, the female partner being the nurturer and the man being the protector and the hunter. And we're shifting that dynamic where we're taking the voice of the boy child away.
Yes.
There's a big agenda of woman empowerment, which is great. I'm a woman, I have a daughter, and I want my daughter to one day marry an upstanding male citizen, and she's blessed with an amazing boyfriend. I'm going to be a very cool...
Yes.
Mom, sometime in the future, you know. But because he has a strong parental force with his dad and his mom living that principle, how do we teach that to our kids in school? How do we teach them that, girls, step aside and let the man be the gentleman? For we all wanted to burn our bras and then we want to cry when the guy doesn't open the door for us.
Yes.
Make your choice. What do you want? Mm. Yeah.
Speaking of that, I want to come to a initiative like the one Belly to Brains. How does it help, you know, gender-based violence and, you know, support the affected students? Because I hear you talking about, you know, it starts at home, the godly love, the godly principle. But how does your initiative, Belly to Brains, help affected students?
So Belly to Brain was born in 2019 out of the principle that we all talk about educating children, but how do you educate a hungry child?
Mm-hmm.
How do you educate a girl child who's missing up to a term of school because of period poverty?
Yes.
But then as we started working with our community since 2019, we've been exposed to the GBV community. We're currently working with a rape victim. She was kidnapped and roofied and raped. And we're working with her at the moment because now she has a fear and she has a racism nature because of who attacked her. And it's to work through to her because let's call a spade a spade. It was white people who abused me, who sexually assaulted me.
Mm-hmm.
So do I now generalize an entire community of white men because of the ones who abused me, cutting out the white men or the black men or the Indian men in my community who have been the ones to carry me, who have been the ones to lift me up when I fall flat down on my face?
Yes.
You cannot generalize. But you have to come with the honest conversation in the schools.
Mm.
And through Pastor Clement and Petunia, we're creating that conversation in schools. We and radio stations like yours, where we're saying, it's not okay. And no is a full sentence. Mm. And the shame is not yours to bear when it's happened to you.
Yes.
Right?
Can we bring in Petunia in this regard? Because we spoke something about, you know, God and spirituality. I want to also to ask you, how can spiritual practices and, you know, mindfulness or, do you know, help students and educators cope with the trauma of gender-based violence?
Kelly, life starts in the spirit.
Yes.
You know, without nurturing your spiritual being, there's no even mental well-being.
Yes.
So everything starts with the spirit. Everything starts with us having that relationship with our Creator, which is God. So, you know, in terms of the traumas, yes, we can deal with it in a psychological manner, in the way we have been taught. But, you know, it always makes more sense, you know, when you take whatever you are experiencing or whatever you have been through, you know, you take it to God, because He said that everyone who is heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest.
True.
You know, we know that God is our healer. But the thing with people, I think maybe we still have we still see God as this abstract being, you know, that you cannot talk to.
Yeah.
But God is our Father. He's always there with us, you know. And as a father, He would want to protect His children.
Yes.
But we never go to Him because we don't believe that He can actually do it, you know. We'd rather go to another human being to seek assistance as compared to going to the Father, who can really heal the depths of us. Because in actual fact, there are some challenges or there are some problems that psychology cannot remedy.
Speaking of that, what are some of effective, you know, therapeutic approaches of supporting students who have experienced gender-based violence in schools?
We usually use the cognitive behavioral therapy. Well, that is the one that I mostly use.
Yes.
But then I think it's also important to understand, you know, the dynamics that happened in the family, understand the personality of a person, because when you are treating an individual, it's not a one size fits all.
Yes.
We are all different. We come from different families, different backgrounds, different personalities. So even though I use a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy in my practice, practice are more eclectic, meaning that I explore different modalities of treatment based on what I find, based on your personality, based on the challenges that you're experiencing. Because we can experience the same thing at the same time, but it's not going to affect us the same way.
That is true. Yes. Speaking of that, how can schools, you know, integrate mental health support services, you know, to address issues like gender-based violence?
It's very important because some of the causes of GBV is mental health issues.
Yes.
Where you find that there's somebody who may be suffering from depression, for example, and they have not dealt with it, or they have suppressed those depressive feelings.
Yes.
So, you know, whatever you experience as a human being, it needs to come out. You cannot say that I pushed it to the back of my mind, I suppressed it, and therefore I'm okay.
Yeah.
You are never okay. It always comes out. And if you suppress it, unfortunately, it will come out in a way that is undesirable.
That's
so
true.
Mental health issues, you know, the issues of depression, the issues of personality, antisocial personalities, narcissistic personality traits. We need to really speak about mental health issues to the children so that they understand.
Yes.
You find that there are a lot of children who are depressed, but they don't know they are depressed, you know? And if you don't treat it at that age, you can just imagine that child grows with a depression. And it actually forms as a foundation to being a perpetrator of GBV, because you've been harboring these emotions since maybe you were 10. And then now you are 35.
Yeah.
You are in a, you are trying to be in an intimate relationship, but you are just not getting it right. And you cannot even express yourself. You have not dealt with the suppressed mental health issues. So the more knowledge, the more awareness that we give to our school kids, the better for them, because they will know when to seek help. They'll be able to identify with the symptoms that they are experiencing so that they can get the necessary help timely.
I want to ask Mr. Clement this question. As a gentleman, we've been having issues of, you know, kids in schools, especially primary schools. We have been seeing rape cases. We've been seeing harassment, sexual harassment. But what if I have a little sister and then maybe she's molested in school, or she got to a point where she was maybe sexually harassed or abused by her teacher? How can they be able to speak up? What are the ways or the channels for them to actually seek help and actually find help?
In schools, there are, number one, every school, they have a subdivision of SAPS, which is called Social Crime Coordinators. So each and every school in South Africa, there's subs representative.
Yes.
And then according to law, that SAPS representative, every learner in the school, they must have their contact numbers.
Okay.
So I want to say to every young person who's listening to Board FM right now, go to your school, ask your teachers who's our social crime coordinator. You must get their cell phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And if it happens that, like you said, one of your family members, or be it you, you were sexually assaulted at school, reach out to your social crime coordinator.
Yeah.
Report that crime, and then they will guide you through necessary steps for you to take in order that you may get help. And then other schools, they have residential psychologists, which are from government.
Yes.
You need to know about that as well. Reach out to them, seek for help. And then if your school, you have people like myself, who's a residential pastor, or a motivational speaker who visit your schools, get their contacts, speak to them. Talking is therapy,
yes.
You know. And I want to say this especially to young boys. I've been through a lot personally, so in life. What really helped me to, you know, even today I'm still standing, it's talking. I'm one person, I'll speak. When I'm hurt, I talk, I speak, you know. And I want to say to young boys, do what I do. And you know what's that? Cry. there's a scripture in the Bible that says there's time for joy and there's time also for weeping, weeping, you know. So I'm a weeper. I cry. I believe in crying. Release it from within. And then Auspechu was speaking about, you know, the emotional responses to things. If we had enough time, I was going to also speak about self-awareness. It's very much important that when we grow up as boys, we need to become self-aware. Self-awareness, when you go to your dictionary, it speaks of being aware of two things: your emotions and your character. And then your character as an individual, you need to be clear about that. What is my character in the world? Character has to do with your role.
Yes.
We have come here today to speak on this platform as different characters with different social backgrounds and all that. And then we also have in us emotions. So you can have a character, let's say for an example, your role in the society, you are a social leader, a president for that matter. But if you don't have emotional intelligence, you will abuse your position as a leader, and then you'll find yourself killing innocent people. As a man, my character is to be a man. But if I don't regulate my emotions, I will use my masculinity to abuse other people because my emotions are not regulated. And in conclusion, there's a beautiful scripture in the Bible when Jacob was blessing his sons. He says, Simeon and Levi, cursed be their anger, for in their anger they kill a man. So they had an uncontrolled anger.
Yes.
So the desire of the father was, may they come to the place where they will control their anger. Why? Because there was a time when their father said, don't pay revenge. We know your sister was sexually assaulted, but don't pay revenge by fighting back. Control your emotions. What did they say to the father? It's fine, we won't. But when the father was not there, their emotions took over and they went and killed people.
Speaking of that, I want us to have, you know, a positive outlook into this. Let's you know, motivate them. How can we create a culture of respect, empathy, and inclusivity in schools to prevent gender-based violence? How can we do that?
I like that question. It takes us back to what I said in the beginning. And when you speak of that culture, you speak of, you know, being in an environment where we are ethical.
Yeah.
But we can never be ethical where morals are not outlined. We need a code of conduct starting from home.
Yes.
We need to instill those things in our kids. When we grow up, my generation, we were taught that every elder person that you meet on the street, they are your father and your mother. What is happening today on social media platforms? We see young kids, they beat up their teachers. How do you do that? Raise your hand towards an elder person. You don't do that. We must model them whilst they're still young from home, instill those morals to say, every old person that you meet on the street, they are your parent. And then the Bible says when you honor your mother and your father, you will live long. Let me give you a prescription. If we want our young people to live long, because in this generation, they die young.
True.
You know, it seems like a miracle when somebody say, I'm celebrating my 60th birthday. Why our lifespan is shortened? It's because there's a thing that we missed out on, which is to honor our parents. Personally, so, when I meet old people, I honor them. People in my space who pray for me, it is old people. And they weep for me. Why? Because they weep for me before the Lord. Why? Because I honor them.
Yeah.
So honor your parents.
Dominic, I want to ask you a question as you were, you know, former Miss SA finalist, right? How can we use platforms like pageantry and social activism to challenge social norms and attitudes that, you know, perpetuate gender-based violence?
So the one thing about pageantry, what I think a lot of people don't know, is that you see the final product. When you buy your ticket to the event, you see the guys in their suits and all dressed up. You see the girls with the hair and the makeup done. And you think, oh, wow, you know, you've got this platform and it's all pretty and it's
true.
But many people don't understand, unless you walk the journey with that competitor, is that they have 9 months to a year where they're working with the pageant directors, with the organization, to do work in the community. Every pageant that you know of in South Africa, Miss SA, Mrs. SA, Mrs. Deaf SA, all of those, they task their competitors with creating a platform in their community.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to do community outreaches, whether it's feeding schemes, whether it's focus on GBV, or whether it's a focus on creating education for kids. You know, there's also coming to the Bible, give a man a fish and he has fish for a day. Teach yes. them to fish and they have fish for a lifetime. They have food for a lifetime. So we find that we need to start communicating. And the pageantry allows that communication because they do individual projects, they do group projects where the competitors go into schools and into communities to create a communication channel mm. where these people are exposed to these people. Myself, I'm a victor, not a victim of sexual abuse and physical abuse. My father molested me at the age of 10. And today I can proudly be on a show, work with Pastor Clement, with Petunia, and say to these kids, what happened to you is not your burden to bear.
Yes.
Your setback is somebody else's comeback.
Mm.
Because when kids, you don't know who's looking at you from that stage, when they know your journey.
Yeah.
That when you're creating this communication, you know, there's a tribe in Africa that when somebody commits a crime or does something wrong, they don't punish the person. They put them in the center. I forget where now. And they encircle this person, and each person will say something good about that person.
Yeah.
Because we find a lot of the GBV is born out of a sense of inadequacy.
Mm, true.
So I'm inadequate at home. I'm inadequate because this happened to me. But you were 10 years of age where your perpetrator was a 35, 40-year-old person. You mm-hmm. did not have the strength to get out of that situation.
Yes.
Now you live with this curse of inadequacy. Mm. Communication is so key. Find those that are committing these crimes, GBV, bullying, whatever. Sit them down. Ask why. Delve deeper, because we don't know where this foundation of abuse has been born, where these roots. We need to cut those roots off and replant them, remove them from this toxic soil mm. and find their purpose and change that dynamic for them.
Yes.
Rehabilitate them while they're still young. You know, we talk about these kids committing these crimes because they learn from home.
Yes.
Parents are failing children.
Mm.
Parents are not communicating with children. Parents need to send children to school ready, with manners. When last have you seen a man stand up in a room when a lady walks in? Because we've extended those boundaries. We've extended those boundaries. Now there's no boundaries left. Mm. And we're back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Right?
Hmm.
Because we're just living life freely, ignoring all the principles. The Israelites, they're in Egypt, crying out to God. God saves them. It's good for a while. We form, but go back to bad habits. We suffer again. Come cry to God. Things are good again. We're in the cycle of forgetting the blessings we had with God, because now we become manly and we become of the flesh.
Yes.
And we commit crimes and we sin again until we be brought back down to our knees and we remember to pray and look up again. We have to create a communication. We have to educate parents how to open the communication platform, that children feel safe to communicate what's happening with them with their parents.
Mm.
And even if the parents don't have the tools, they need to be able to know they can come to organizations like Power, like the National GBV Communications Channels, to the counselors, to the social workers in the community,
yes,
where they can have the tools. You know, I'm not a social a therapist, but when I need that person, I can come to Petunia.
Yes.
She's not somebody who can do perhaps tax and accounting, for a silly example, but she can come to me. I can't preach like Pastor Clement can, but mm-hmm. I can come to him and say, I need you to come and preach to these boys, to these kids right now. We have resources within our networks that can help these kids. They don't need to know that they're islands. They need to know that this island has a bridge over it to success.
Yes.
And they need to be communicated with, because we aren't communicating enough with them. We aren't allowing them to have the voice. Now, I want to heed the listeners as well, because before you accuse someone of something like this just to get back at them, be very, very careful.
Sure.
Because that is just as life-altering. And I feel that the person who falsely accuses someone like that should do the same time for the crime as if that person committed the perpetration. Because when people falsely accuse, they ruin that reputation. But they create a cycle where people who are actually abused do not get the protection that they need because you're innocent until proven guilty, mm-hmm. and the person, the victim, is guilty until proven innocent.
Innocent, yes.
So we need to change that dynamic, and we need to... Revenge is not the way out.
Yeah.
You know, Samson, when he was angry, he tied foxes' tails together, lit them, and let them run through a felt because of his anger and his revenge. All he did was destroy the food, and he suffered as well.
Yeah.
So when you create revenge, you just suffer as well.
Let me speak to Petunia as we close our conversation. I want to ask you to speak to the teachers. What message would you give to the teachers in regards to gender-based violence? And how would you, you know, motivate the kids who are going through this? There are kids who are going through this on a daily basis. They are being violated. They are being harassed each and every single day. How can you motivate them? As we close off, I need you to speak to the teachers. I need you to also to speak to you know, an encouraging word to the kids listening as well.
Okay. Before I get there, can I just be allowed to just add to what
I've left 5 minutes
and
so Dominique can close it off.
Said
yeah.
to say, you know, sometimes the parents don't know how to emotionally be present for their children, which is where the problem is. So just going a little bit deeper from what my colleagues have said, I've always had this thing that, you know, when I started studying psychology, to say in antenatal classes, because you find a lot of wounded women and they don't know how to mother properly.
That's
you know,
true.
So if we can also look at relaying that information at antenatal classes to say this is what a person looks like, this is how what a person needs, this is how your function as a woman. There's also the emotional need of the child that you need to cater for. But coming to your question, I would encourage first the learners to be respectful.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let us be moral. Let us go back to basics. Your teacher is there at school and they resemble your parents.
That's
your
true.
Teachers are not the same age as you. It doesn't matter whether you like or dislike the teacher. Mm. They must all be respected for the mere fact that they are older than you.
Yes.
You know, and the teachers, the same thing, because we do find some teachers who compare themselves to the learners.
Mm.
You know, so they have actually regressed to that level of the learners.
True.
So to the teachers as well, remember that these are your children. These are not your peers that you should be competing with.
Mm.
And these children, they look up to you.
Yes.
You are there resembling a mother figure,
a father figure.
Somebody, an adult that they want to run to if they have any challenges.
Yes.
So let us open that platform of communication between the teacher and the learner.
Yes.
So that when the learner is aggrieved or they're experiencing any kind of challenge, they feel free to approach the teacher.
Mm.
Because sometimes you find that there's a barrier between the learners and the teachers. And whatever the learners are experiencing, no matter how heartbreaking it may be, they cannot reach out to the teachers.
True.
So the teachers need to be the safe place where the learners can run to if they need any kind of assistance.
Mm.
And I know that working in the schools these days is not as hunky-dory as before, because we also find that a lot of our teachers are also in danger because of the behavioral challenges that they experience coming from the learners. So it's very difficult also to be a teacher. So I'm saying, you know, if there is a need for help, let us not shy away. Let us not say, no, I will be fine. You will only be fine if you deal with whatever is bothering you and you handle it in a constructive manner. So let us seek help, teachers, and the same with the learners. Please seek help if you need to. There's a child line that they can also call if maybe they have any emotional challenges. It's a toll-free number. It's a pity that I don't have it. And we also have the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, where we have a toll-free number as well that can be used to call if there's any kind of assistance that is needed. Because sometimes you find that the learners, they feel alone and they feel that they cannot trust anyone around them.
Yes.
So just allow me to give them the child line number.
You can go ahead.
It's 0800-055-555. 0800 055555. So it's a toll-free number when you feel that you are emotionally burdened.
Yes.
Or you have anger issues or whatever. You can always call the Childline number, who will be able to assist you. And I think that maybe we can also give them the South African Depression and Anxiety Group.
Yes. Also, even how can they maybe, you know, Pastor Clement, how can they find you? Maybe somebody that doesn't want to speak to, you know, child depression or anybody else, but feel like, you know what? I heard Pastor Clement on Port FM. How can I get a hold of Pastor Clement? How can I get a hold of Miss Petunia? And how can also get a hold of, you know, Miss Dominic? How can they find you or be able to, you know, to let me speak to you guys? Maybe I would feel better. How can they find you, Pastor Clement?
On social media platforms, my handles, it's Clement T. C. Chauke, Clement T. C. Chauke, all social media platforms. And then our WhatsApp line is 069-917-0959. I know it's a lot of nines. Eh?
And you, Ms. Petunia, how can they find you?
Can I just give them the SADC number?
Yes.
Before, it's 0800. This is another toll-free number that you can call. 0800-567-567. So I think this is easier. This is the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, and it's a toll-free number. Mm-hmm. Well, I am found on social media platforms. I'm Petunia Lenono. And on TikTok, I'm Petunia L. Yes, you know, we need to explore.
Yes.
You know, people are everywhere. We need to reach as many people as we can.
And that's where you're going to find the people that we're looking for on TikTok. That's where we are.
You know, but if you need to use a WhatsApp, my number is 072-971-1324.
Thank you, and you, Dominic, how can they find you on social media?
So they can find me personally on Instagram and Facebook under Dominic Tibbles, and then they can also find us with Belly to Brain. It's B-E-L-L-Y, the number 2, and Brain on Instagram and Facebook, and they can email us on accounts@bellytobrain.org. Whether it's you or whether you know of somebody who has a need, just drop us a line, and if not us, we have the resources to connect you with the right person to just give you that ease.
Ladies, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming through this afternoon and sharing this important information. I feel like this is something that we need to talk about mostly in terms of the crisis or the national crisis that we're facing, which is gender-based violence, especially in regards to children. And I was speaking to Petunia Lenono, who is a spiritually centered clinical psychologist who has been in practice for over 19 years, and Dominic Tibbles, a former Miss SA South African finalist beyond pageantry. She's the founder of Belly to Brains, a non-profit organization dedicated to community upliftment, as well as Clement T.C. Chauke, who is a transformational speaker, social activist, founder and president of Miss Influence South Africa. Mr. Clement, I'll definitely come and do my pageantry there with you. So yeah, and definitely this is how we wrap up our interview this afternoon. Thank you so much for making time. We really appreciate the efforts that you are doing daily. It is Port FM 8.2, Yokasi's favorite Stasi. This discussion was brought to you by Government Communication and Information System, GCIS, a nation that works for all.